When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we're recording. Welcome, everyone, to the Rink Rat Report podcast. I was hoping that this one would be, you know, more on the light side. I was hoping that we'd come into this one. The Leafs would be 2 points back of the Florida Panthers. Few wins in a row, everything looking good. But nope, obviously not. The Leafs dropped this game because of whoever you want to blame in this one. And it was started good. 5-1 win against the Capitals on Thursday. Saturday, 3-0 win against the Sabres. 6-4 win against the Panthers. And then tonight happened. As always, joined by Jason.
Yeah. Sometimes you win games you don't deserve to win. And then sometimes you lose games you don't deserve to lose. And yeah. I feel like we got a little bit of both this week.
You did, because you didn't deserve to win the Buffalo game.
Not at all.
No, not really at all.
But yeah.
Maybe Pekalukin and should have had that Tavares goal. You know, like, yep. Samsonov made a couple incredible saves. You took some very inopportune penalties. I think that's inopportune, whatever the word is for it. Hmm. Penalties in that one. And so, yeah, I guess if you trade Buffalo loss with this loss, it is what it is. It's all 2 points at the end of the day. Yep. So we're going to get into some of those games. We're then going to get into, what's it called? Oh, we're going to take a look at playoff matchups. We're going to take a statistical look at the Leafs playoff matchup, what it could be. It's between Boston and Florida. More than likely that it's going to be Florida. Florida's not doing too well right now. Hopefully the Leafs are able to catch that second place spot, because that's massive. I mean, not that when you look at it, like in reality, let's be real. The Leafs go down to Florida, there's going to be a good amount of Leaf fans there. And those are the louder Leaf fans. As we saw in Buffalo, the away Leaf fans are way louder, more passionate. Just know what they're doing way more than Scotiabank Arena. Scotiabank Arena, I was hearing like boos when the puck wasn't cleared out of the zone fast enough on a PK. Yeah. Like I was hearing weird murmurs. It was just like, and it was like they killed the penalty. It's like, guys, this PK has been ass this year. You just killed a few penalties in a row. What are we doing? How is there not even one single cheer? Ridiculous.
What does it take to get our home games played in Buffalo? Like, what does that take? What do we have to do to do that? Because, like, we would actually go undefeated
sell the team. Move them to Buffalo.
I guess.
Oh, my God. That was so loud after that Austin Matthews. That like, the Leafs posted nuts. That video.
Yeah.
Of, it was like, I guess someone just had the camera in the stands, whatever. It was so loud. And then tonight you get, like, fight of the year from Ryan Reeves. I didn't feel any different from like the noise coming through the TV. Like I wasn't there. I can ask people that were there, but that the crowd sucks. You need to like instruct them how to cheer almost. You need to like give them set like cheers almost. Yeah, like
we got it, honestly. And I guess that starts with us. I don't know.
We got to start writing some cheers that like 6-year-old men would be comfortable, because that's all that's there.
Yeah.
Anyways, before we get into all that, we get into some more complaining of myself. This episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in the below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code RINKRAT, that is RINKRAT, for 20% off and free shipping. I know someone that just bought it. They said they love it, the sprays, the everything. So check it out, manscaped.com. Promo code RINKRAT, RINKRAT. So before we get into the statistical look of what the playoffs could be, I wanted to share my screen because something has been annoying me. As of the more I see it, the more it annoys me. And it's been annoying me quite a bit this season. So we're going to take a look at, can you see my screen?
Good. You're good to go. You're good
can
to
you
go.
See my screen? Is my screen showing? This is the 2-1 goal. Mind you, let's back up a little bit here. Sheldon Keefe, and we saw it in the game against the Panthers, has not really been like line matching and playing the optimal lines, it feels like. He's giving guys more of a chance and seeing if they can step up to the opportunity. So this is Tampa Bay's first line against the Leafs' fourth line out there. 1-1, beginning of the second period, in the defensive zone. So he's kind of challenging them. Like, hey, I want to see what they can do. They had a good first period. Very, very good first period. So on this play, I believe it's Radish sends it into the corner. Kucherov goes to chase. Labushkin knocks it back up into the corner. I'm going to stop the video here. TJ Brody is going to chase Anthony Duclair up the wall. That's what he's supposed to do in this scenario. If we back it up, David Kampf is watching Braden Point in front of the net. So essentially, if you look at it like defense in front of the net and then forward up high, essentially Brody and Kampf are supposed to switch places kind of in this, I suppose you could call it. They're supposed to switch places. Brody is supposed to continue to chase the puck carrier up the boards. David Kampf is supposed to fall back and support the front of the net here. So that's what happens. Labushkin knocks it up the boards. Brody goes to chase Anthony Duclair. He puts the pressure on him. Duclair throws it back behind the net. And instantly in a one-touch pass, a beautiful one-touch pass, Kucherov is able to get to the front of the net. And Braden Point makes a beautiful move around Joseph Woll. Really nothing that Joseph Woll can do here. I can't see if he's scanning or not, but maybe Woll could. No, that's up to the top. No, he had no chance on that. He had no chance on that one. But if you watch what David Kampf does on this play, he's supposed to stick to the front of the net. Instead, he peels out. He starts to play kind of the center position again. But no, you're supposed to be in front of the net. Leaves Braden Point wide open, and bam. Why am I complaining about this specific play? Why am I complaining about it now? I don't like it. I don't like how the Leafs are not playing. I don't think they have the personnel to be playing this way. They don't have an elite defensive center. Like if they had Philip Deneau back there and they had Philip Deneau back there and some other good defensive forwards, I would say, sure, go ahead, chase. And then you guys sorting it out. They don't really have that though. They don't have the Golden Knights center depth or the Golden Knights defense to be able to do this. I think if you really were to keep it as a zone or a box, keeping the defense in front of the net, if Brody doesn't chase here and you sort it back out, I think you're fine. You're putting the onus on David Kampf to make that read, which he's supposed to be a defensive center. That's what he's getting paid to be. And bam, and it's in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Right. We saw this also.
Yeah.
There was another play we saw this as well. I'm trying to remember. We've seen this several times. Just go back and watch a Leafs game. Happens way too much.
So
you were saying?
All I was just going to say is that, yeah, David Kampf should have been first of all, he doesn't look at, he doesn't look at the front of the net at all throughout this sequence. He's kind of just stuck puck watching because he ties up point
Ties him up and then perfectly.
Puck point goes to the corner for a second and then just kind of slips behind his back and he never looks back. So, yeah, Kampf should have been able to pick up on that, scan at least behind him once, and try and understand, hey, where's Point here? But also, why is TJ Brody chasing a guy up the wall? Like, he's kind of taking the puck away from a dangerous area. Like, Dewar's already there on him. It would be a mismatch at the top, like the at the top of the circles. It'd be like a 3-on-2 at the top. But like you would, like, if you're smart, you give that up just to make sure that you don't give up a goal like this. So no, I feel like there's a lot. There's a lot that goes wrong here. There's a lot that goes wrong.
That's the play, though. That's the play. Dewar's guy is like, his zone is up here essentially. If Brody gives this guy up and he sorts back, and David Camp is here. Look how much room Anthony Duclair has right here. Because Dewar's also then responsible up here. It's a 2-on-1 up here. And then the second, if I clear this, the second D-man here. Ryan Reeves is in the proper position. So Reeves gets a minus, and he did nothing wrong. But that's the play. Brody is supposed to chase up the wall there.
I understand.
It just shows the ridiculousness of the defensive system.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think there's also times where, like, maybe common sense needs to override, like, structure and play, and, like, chasing a guy up a wall like that when he's, like, taking a puck away from a dangerous area.
That's not common sense. That's the play.
Yeah, I doubt they tell their defenders to chase up to the point like that.
But I can find other plays. That's what they do.
Okay.
They 100%
do that. I just think that's just wrong, then. That's just wrong. So
that's the flaw in playing the swarm or whatever the hell they want to call this. But this isn't even like a David Kampf doesn't read what he hits him, and then he just skates away from him. He fully just skates away. It's not even point slips behind it. He just fully just, okay, we're done. Okay, I'm gone. And like, David Kampf should know that that's not the system. You gotta stick with the front of the net like you did there. The other play that I want to break down, I thought Joseph Woll was good in this one up until this goal. This was a pretty shitty goal. And I want to break down what his read was here, because essentially you shouldn't be giving up goals like that. Like, I realized it's a great shot. Paul has time and space, but it's the top of the circles. You really should have that one. And what happened on this one was, so Riley's got it played pretty well. It's a 2-on-1 back pressure from Timmins. So is the passing option there? Like, it shouldn't be theoretically. Like, is it there? Maybe, kind of, sort of. But Joseph Woll's got to be more kind of set on this one. He's got to be more set on this one. And he's got to be more confident that his team's going to be able to block that pass. And he can't be giving up. He's got to get his feet set on this shot here, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. He doesn't. He continues to fall back as if, hey, like, from his momentum, if that pass comes, he's ready to go. He's great. Yeah. He's in great, but he doesn't play like the pass doesn't come. And when you watch his hands here, he doesn't quite react. He tries to, and then it goes right over his shoulder. And he's like, I give Craig Simpson shit. He said he was deep on this one. You know what? He probably could have held the line a little bit better on this one. Like, he's not totally deep, but like, he's, you could see him falling back. Like, he starts from the top of the crease, he's falling back, and then right over his shoulder. And why is that? Well, he's expecting that pass to come. It doesn't. Like, it's Nick Paul. He's not the greatest playmaker. You gotta respect the shot threat there a little bit more, I would say.
That's a good point there. I just wondering what Morgan Riley's doing there, where he's like not blocking the shot and not blocking, like, not really doing the best to block the pass, but like,
he's blocking the pass. If he were to pass to Joseph Woll there, I don't know why.
This is a weird placement of his stick.
Stick comes out from like the passing lane, and then like,
he gets rid of it.
But then look, not only that, instead of using his stick and like blocking the passing lane like you should, he kicks out his foot to be like, oh, got you now. See, and now I got it. Like, I don't know. He did not play it very well. I wouldn't fault Morgan Riley. But, you know, giving that much gap to Nick Paul is a little bit crazy there. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at it. You do have to respect the 2-on-1. So that's why he did. But, yeah, he didn't play that very well.
Yeah.
So that's all. You can stop sharing my screen now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It was, that was, I don't know.
Come back.
Yeah, you're good. It was one of those games where it was,
Every single chance that they gave up
were good chances.
Came
quality,
with time
quality.
And space. Yes, yeah. Quality, time, space, off the rush, a breakaway from Nikita Kucherov in the third period. Tampa Bay, Leafs haven't played them in a while. They complain so much. My goodness gracious, it's insane. But like you said, like there was the first shot of the game, that screen was ridiculous to see through. Like that was just a really, it wasn't like Joseph Woll wasn't trying to see through it. The pass came from his left to his right. It came up top. He couldn't see it because of the screen in front. Okay. The right side, looking through the right side of the window there was not available. He goes to the left side. Hedman is on the right side of that screen, though. He sends a shot through, seeing a shot that hit the post and in. Woll's, you know, looking through the left side, it's coming through Bertuzzi, so a double screen there, and then it goes in. Like, that's a really, really tough one to stop. Unfortunately, it's the first shot of the game, so that is kind of a breath. There's a bit of a backbreaker there and really shitty. But, like, you look at the third goal. What happens on the – actually, yeah, the no, even on the first goal was a mistake in the neutral zone by Jake McCabe. The third goal was Jake McCabe pinching – on a 4-on-2, so I'm not really sure why he was doing that. Terrible defensive play by the forwards as well. Yeah. So as you can see, one person made a mistake, and then it just snowballed, and it snowballed, and it snowballed, and then it ended up in the back of the net. So in this one, like overall, pretty good effort from the Leafs. Got some chances, weren't able to capitalize. Like I thought offensively they were pretty decent in this one. Mm-hmm. Just defensively, one guy made a mistake, and then the next guy made a mistake, and then the next guy made a mistake, and then the next guy made a mistake, and then it was in the back of the net, right? Because even Joseph Woll made some good saves in this one. Don't forget that. 2-on-1 save, pass across, makes a save twice to end the second period. Stamkos, time and space, and then what happens later in that play? Stamkos, time and space, puts it in the back of the net. There was a few other plays, time and space in front of the net, he makes a save. Like, does a bad goalie make 7 or 8 very good saves in a game? No, it's just the Leafs gave up a ton. It felt like the New Jersey game just all over again. Yeah. Anyways,
well, I'm rambling, it's fine. It's important to note as well, like at least like the two forwards are not like two. There's two current forwards on this like the team that played tonight that are not going to be in the lineup come game one because Marner and Yarncrook.
Marner's Yarncrook back Saturday.
Marner's supposed to be back. Yarncrook is. I think he's supposed to be back.
Like, have you heard anything on him?
I haven't heard anything. I'm just assuming. Maybe I'm wrong doing that.
My dad asked me. I'm like,
I don't know. Like,
I think
it might be one of those things they hold him up precautionary. I feel like it's
weird.
They would. I feel like they would have said that he would have been out for the like at some point for the playoffs, like they did with Liljegren, which I guess we'll touch on now. Where or just bring
is he
him
out
up.
For the playoffs?
He's not. He's week to week.
I didn't know this.
So he's gonna be. He's not day to day. He's week to week. And when you're week to week. Was it 3 weeks out from the playoffs? That's not the best. I mean, I guess he could come back in the fourth week, it muddies the water here.
I forgot they said he's going to miss some time with that one. But,
and the way that, I think this happened in the, the Thursday game? Who did they play?
Washington, 5-1.
Capitals. Yeah, they play the Capitals. So, and Yarncrook has, So, anyways, I don't know what he got. I don't know what happened there. He got hurt and said he wasn't day to day. It was week to week.
Yarncrook didn't play this Thursday.
Sorry.
Oh, Liljegren.
And then he's kind of said the same thing. The reason why I brought that up is because he said the same thing back in March, Keith, about Yarncrook, where he said it's week to week for him as well. But Yarncrook's issue is his hand. I assume it was broken.
He like broke his knuckle and then went face first into the boards. Like, he has bone-itis again. I don't know.
maybe a re-injury to the bone. Who knows?
A re-injury. All of his bones again
fell apart.
Not feeling good.
No, but yeah. I forgot where I was even going with this, but yeah. I think
injury bug. Hopefully we get everyone back. But
hopefully we get everyone back for the playoffs. Those small defensive lapses could be potentially squeezed out if we get some of those guys back. Maybe we'll see, but
well, Edmondson's still out too. I don't know what their plan is with him, but
I mean, we went
when you look at it, like as you mentioned, like a few forwards are going to come out that played in this game. They're not going to be in the playoffs. Maybe one or two defensemen that played in this game are not going to be playing in the playoffs. Here's the thing, as I mentioned, Jake McCabe was terrible tonight. That guy's going to be playing in the playoffs 100%. So just a bad game from him. I like Jake McCabe. He's a great defense. He's a solid 3-4 defenseman. He was terrible tonight. Gave up a lot. Didn't do much offensively. So that's where it's kind of like, haha, that is interesting. But yeah, just overall in this one, like you got some offensively and then you gave up a lot defensively. Like again, on that third goal, it cannot be stated enough how bad of a line change that was for Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi. Matthews changes. Those two stay out there. It's a long shift, well past a minute at this point. Domi has the puck behind the net. Bertuzzi's at the blue, nearish the blue line. Domi's got the puck behind the net. You are not near the puck at all. You're at the end of a shift, and what did he decide to do? He chased the puck. They eventually, Holmberg then chased it too, which three guys down deep. That's love it. Love it. Love to see that, by the way. Not that Holmberg was really, I probably could have stood to come back a little bit further in that one, but whatever. He's the least of my worries on this play. But the puck starts to come the other way, and what happens? Domi and Bertuzzi are gassed, and they go up, line change. And then that's mistake number one. And then Jake McCabe pinches at the blue line. That's mistake number two. Then we got an odd man rush, and Steven Stamkos buries it in the back of the net. That's just the kind of night it was tonight. Just stupid, stupid mistakes that cost you. Yep. Anyways, not that it was a terrible game. It's just bothered me. It bothered me to see those mistakes.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, is the mistakes suck. The mistakes suck for sure. But then at least do feel like in general, if they can just, I know this sounds like cliche, like shore it up a little bit more defensively. I think the overall game is still good. And I think that's that's special important. Teams like
too.
Special teams, special plays, team. Special players. Yes, brother. I think that's an important thing is that as we're getting close to the playoffs, the structure and the system, the bones of it are at least there. Just got to clean it up a little bit defensively, just a little bit. Right. So,
exactly.
I'm not too happy with it.
So unfortunately in this one, to stay very cheery as we are, we talked about the one loss. The Leafs did have three wins in this week and it felt fantastic. It felt fantastic to see those wins. As you mentioned, the Buffalo one was probably not deserved. Did you say that on air or before?
Oh, I said that. Yeah. I said that right as we started. We won one that we should have lost, and we lost one that we should have won. Exactly. I don't know if we should. I really don't know if we should have won the Tampa Bay game. It feels like there's a couple of things. Listen, you only score one goal, you're never going to win the game. But
yeah, no, it's very, very unlikely.
A couple of good chances though, like that Matthews pass to Bertuzzi, like that was.
And then he fanned on it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Matthews had a couple great chances in this one. He was fantastic. Other than that, nobody else really had the most. Like McMahon had a good chance here and there. Tavares, I think, is in there. Maybe Nylander as well. But overall, whatever. Whatever, that's fine. You had three wins in four games.
Yep. And that's important.
It was asking a lot to go on a four-game win streak. But like you're close to the Panthers. He's out right now. Ekblad, I believe, is week to week. Like, you're almost there. They're kind of struggling. You could take that home ice advantage. So hopefully I'm very confident. If the Leafs start like they did tonight on Saturday against Montreal, I'm more than confident they take 2 points in that one specifically.
Yeah.
That's all I'm looking for. Saturday, start like you did tonight. That's it.
Yeah. I know I kind of say this more tug in cheek as a joke, but also kind of true. Do we even want home ice advantage? Like, do we even want that? Like, I know it helps you. Like, the change helps a lot. But also, Sheldon Keefe is not the best line matcher. I don't think he does a good job with his line matches. And then also, the other advantage is that you play in your own barn, which is probably the worst advantage. Like, of all the teams in the NHL, the Leafs are probably bottom five in, like, home ice crowd, if that's the factor. And then on top of that,
the freaking Ghost of Bank Arena.
Yeah, like it's crazy. So I don't know. I'm curious to see like what the Leafs record is home versus away, and like what their record is expected to be like home versus away compared to what it actually is. Because I feel like our away record is better than expected and our home record is worse than expected. Because
well, last year when you look at it, so in the playoffs last year, didn't they have a losing record? They split 1-1 the first split. They went 2-0 in Tampa. They lost when they came back here in game five. So that's 1-2. They won in Tampa. So that's 3-0. They started off the first two home games against Florida, 0-2. Both. They go to Florida. They win one, lose one.
Yeah.
They come back home. They lose. So is that a losing streak of 1, 2, 3, 4 games in the playoffs at home?
I think 5 games.
No, 4. They won the 4? Second one.
Oh, yeah.
Remember last year, the season before was the Leafs thumped Tampa, Tampa thumped them. And then this year it was Tampa thumped them, and then the Leafs thumped them back. Mm-hmm. And then after that, when it was 1-1, everyone was just like, I have no idea how the series is going to go. And fortunately, the Leafs won, so...
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, you're right. They're...
4 game losing streak at home. So yeah, we don't want it actually. Never mind.
1-5 and they lost in Florida. 6 at home. Not good. Mm. Not good. But anyways, before we get, I guess you want to get into the.
Let's get into some stats.
Before we do that, though, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors over at DraftKings. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything that happens on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Listen, we've been tracking the hard odds on DraftKings on this podcast since we've been doing these DraftKings ad reads, and hard odds aren't there anymore. Hard odds are off the board. Last time I checked, Matthews was 20-1, but now that he's getting closer to 70 goals, maybe he goes a little bit down, a little bit. Maybe you get him a little bit worse odds in the future. But right now, what I'm looking at and what I'm seeing is to win the Stanley Cup. And on DraftKings right now, the Toronto Maple Leafs are 14-1 to win the Stanley Cup. And I'm not even kidding you when I say I don't remember I've ever seen a Leafs team this late in the season have that high of a number. Say what you will about the team. Say what you want. Don't bet it on my word. Don't make your own informed decision here. But it's just interesting for me to see 14-1 for the Leafs with the sentiment around the team right now. But yeah, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN and new customers. Bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK. Or text Hope New York 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. cdkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. 14-1 is kind of crazy, but...
It is. Who has the highest right now? Do you know?
Who's Carolina's plus 650, Panthers plus 700, Avs plus 700, Oilers plus 750, Rangers plus 900, Dallas Stars 10-1, Boston Bruins 10-1, Vegas Golden Knights 12-1, Canucks 14-1, then Leafs 14-1. So, yeah. I'm excited because it seems like the Leafs are going to be an under, like just based on this, they're playing either Florida or Boston. I doubt home field advantage flips their odds too much. So the Leafs are most likely going to be dogs in this. I mean, if they have home field, they'll probably won't be dogs in the series, but most likely right now with how things shape up, they will be underdogs in the series, which is going to be a lot of fun for me because Leafs are usually a favorite. Anyways.
Yep.
And let's get into these.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. Let's get into these stats.
I wanted to point out something. Since February 1st, in terms of point percentage in the league, the Leafs are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th. 6th in the league in points percentage since February 1st. Since January 1st, I think they're like 10th or something like that. So not bad. Only actually, this is kind of great. The Wild are ahead of them. The Stars, Hurricanes, Predators, and Rangers. 18, 9, and 1 since February 1st. Some stats for you.
But that's interesting because, yeah, not the crop of, I guess, predators you expect to see in there, but not the wild. I guess it's because they're forced
the
to.
The wild, no, they're not in. Yeah. they're not.
They want to be now, though.
They're not doing themselves any favors.
Yeah.
They're not literally... that, like, the blues are creeping in there, but and it's wild. Kind of out. They traded Connor Dewar to us.
Mistake.
Anyways. Let's get into it. The Leafs, so I took the numbers from 5-on-5 numbers. The special teams, I don't know, I'll look at another time, whatever. And the special teams, especially in games 5, 6, and 7, are kind of non-existent, if we're being honest. 1 through 4, like game 1, they will call penalties. Game 2, they will call a few less penalties. And then 3, 4, and progressively throughout the series, they call less and less penalties. This happens every single time. Cam Charron, who we've interacted with him, we never really got to have him on the podcast. He's now with the Pittsburgh Penguins, though. He did a study. He looked at penalties called in series in the playoffs. And they don't swallow the whistle right away. They call penalties in the beginning of the series. However, after that, after those first couple games, the penalties start to go away. So that's where special teams in the playoffs in games 3, 4, if you have dog ass special teams, you're going to get sunk, obviously. But, you know, the margin in terms of power plays and penalty, like the margins in terms of special teams kind of diminishes the later you go in a series. So, I decided to look at 5-on-5. Another thing to take a look at it 5-on-5 as well that you have to take into consideration. The best players on your team are going to be playing more. Proportionally, they're going to be playing more than what they did in the regular season. By how much, I have to take a look in. I still have to like run those numbers to see like what, you know, because like, for example, the Leafs have a 50.54% Corsi 4 on the season. But your fourth line, you know, you're going to cut some minutes from there. You're going to cut some minutes from your third line. So now, what is the Corsi for when it's your top six playing way more minutes than the rest of them, right? So I didn't do the math on that. That would probably be a little bit more important, but I didn't. I just took a look at plain old 5-on-5 stats between the Leafs, the Bruins and the Panthers, because there's an outside chance they play the Bruins, but it's most likely they're going to be playing the Panthers. So what kind of teams are we looking at? What would be your first question, Jason, in terms of these numbers?
What my question? Well, there's like one number that sticks out to me, and I don't want to like rob you of like giving that away. The biggest number that sticks out to me is where are the Leafs right now? So what you put together here is how where the Leafs rank compared to the rest of the league, or where each team ranks compared to the rest of the league in 5-on-5 goals for and against, expected goals for and against, and expected goals, or sorry, goals percentage and expected goals percentage, along with scoring chances for percentage as well, shooting percentage and save percentage, get a little PDO action in there. The biggest shock to me is the Leafs are the best team at scoring goals at 5-on-5.
Bingo, they are number yes, they one. Are. They are they number are one.
They are number one in goals for at 5-on-5 in the NHL. That
how crazy is that?
That blew me away. I was like, I couldn't believe it, honestly. And it's funny because when you told me to look at this, it's literally the exact first thing I said to you. I'm like, this cannot be right. Are you sure this is right? And you told me.
I double checked it. I didn't think it was right either.
No.
It's right. As of these stats are, I will say this, from Natural Stat Trick, these stats are, I was doing this last night. So it didn't take into account last night's games.
Right. So as of the games played April 1st to back to the beginning of the NHL season, the Leafs are number one scoring goals, which is crazy to think. I mean, honestly, like at 5-on-5, it's kind of obvious when you have Austin Matthews who scores 63 goals for you. So yeah, but also it feels like the team hasn't been scoring a lot, but in reality they have. So
yeah, when you look at the criticism of the Leafs the past few seasons, it's been scoring depth. Their depth hasn't been good, but they have the number one goals for right now. Like, and when you look at it kind of the guys that have been. So when you look at the 5-on-5 goals leaders for the Leafs, obviously you have Austin Matthews. He has 34. Tonight's goal was on the power play, so that doesn't count. Number two is William Nylander at 22, which is pretty good. Number three is Mitch Marner at 16. After that, it is Tyler Bertuzzi with 14, Matthew Nyes with 13, John Tavares with 12, and then like McMahon and Robertson with 11 is nothing to sniff at, mm-hmm. right? Or if that's the right, or nothing to turn your nose at, but whatever, right? So that, like, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys with double-digit 5-on-5 goals. Goal seasons. I didn't compare it to last season, but whatever. And then also, like, Max Domi has 39 5-on-5 points this year. That's pretty impressive. And that's good for fourth on the Leafs right now.
Yeah.
Like, and then when you take a look at, say, Boston's got a good amount of 5-on-5 goal scorers. I will say that. But if you could guess who are the leaders in 5-on-5 points for the Boston Bruins. Can you guess them?
I got it spoiled for me.
Who's number one?
David Pastrnak.
Obviously.
You would think number two is probably Brad Marchand, or it was probably maybe, hey, like a Pavel Zak or a Charlie Coyle, or maybe can't even think of any other like players who would get points on their roster, but yeah.
It's
Trent Frederick.
Trent Frederick is second in 5-on-5 points. Who's number three?
Jake DeBrusk, I guess.
No, that's the guy.
Charlie Coyle,
number three. Nuts. Who's number four? Pavel Zacha. Okay. Wrong. Pavel Zacha's number four. Who's number five?
Brad Marchand.
Danton Heinen.
Oh, my God.
Number six is Brad Marchand.
There we go.
Brad Marchand has, am I reading this correctly, 14 5-on-5 goals, which is not bad. Same as Bertuzzi. 13 5-on-5 assists. For 27 points at 5-on-5. That's not a lot. A lot of his production is now coming on the power play. Pretty interesting. I mean, Trent Frederick has been like, that's great value. That's a guy that doesn't play like a ton. Well, actually, he's getting some good minutes. Mm-hmm. Now that I look at it, 12.48 5-on-5 minutes per game. That's decent. Danton Heinen has been a very big surprise for them. He came in on like a PTO, and to have more 5-on-5 points than Brad Marchand, that's exceptional value. So
yeah, that was a good sign for him. Got to give him credit for that, of course.
Yeah. When you look at the Panthers, like, it's not that surprising. Verhaeghe, Reinhardt, Barkov, Kachuk, Gustav Forsling's a great player. Evan Rodriguez, no surprise, 7 goals at 5-on-5. He is shooting 5.38%. Like, and you think, oh, the regression monster is going to get him. No, he always just shoots like between 5 and 6%. He seems
just like one of those career shooters, which is why so many like
he shoots like Alex Kerfoot.
Yeah, he's like that. He's like the typical guy that like people who only look at expected goals numbers could fall for because he has such great expected goal numbers because of shot volume. But he's bad at converting, which is a step that needs to be accounted for.
But you want to hear the funny thing about Evan Rodriguez's shot? Like, let's him just shooting the puck, he's not a good shooter. His one-timer is exceptional. I remember I watched him pretty extensively before free agency to see how much is he going to get, what's he actually worth. He had 6 power play goals for the Avs, which was like second on the team in 5-on-5 in power play goals per 60. Because they would tee him up one timers and you drill them. He gets such good velocity on the one timer, but his actual shot is just not very good. So, anyways, let's get go on.
I was just gonna say it's one of those things where it's like obviously like you're never gonna be stationary. So it's like if you have a good one timer, that's good, but you gotta learn how to be able to skate and shoot anyway.
But it's the way that he's able to get like velocity off of it. It's the way that he's able to flex the stick off the one timer. That for some reason he just can't get at five on five. Well, simply because you're not teeing up slap shots, really. It's a snapshot. So kind of funny to see the disparity in velocities like that. But anyways, so you buried the lead. between the three teams, goals for rankings between. Yeah, this was, I believe this was 5-on-5 per 60 goals rankings. I believe all anyways.
Well, it would, it
Leafs were one.
Yeah, it shouldn't change too much.
Yeah, Leafs were number one. Boston Bruins were number six in the league. The Florida Panthers were 25th in the league in 5-on-5 goals for.
That's crazy. And, the Panthers being that low is really nuts, but also like they've had the best, they've been like the best expected goals team. No, percentage wise.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that.
Sorry.
Kind of shows. We'll go through the numbers and add some context and put the numbers together to kind of paint a picture, because if you look at one number, it's not really going to tell you much. And yes, to confirm, this is 5-on-5 goals for per 60 for these teams. Leafs had 181, Bruins have 164, and the Panthers have 139. So that's how many pucks they put into the other team's net. How many pucks do they allow into their own net? Well, the Panthers are second in the league in goals against. 5-on-5 goals against per 60, the Panthers are second in the league. The Bruins, not too shabby either, fourth in the league. The Leafs, actually, not as bad as you think. I believe they're 11th.
Which is crazy, considering you had a goalie who had 850-50 for 15 games, which you talked about a lot last week. I think feels like...
I haven't taken a look at maybe like the PK. Well, the PK stinks, so that's where a lot of the goals could be coming from.
But probably.
11th, that's way better than I expected.
At 5-on-5, it's respectable. And also, like, with the Panthers being that high, it makes sense because, like, Bobrovsky's had a good year, but Stolarz has been great for them this year, playing 25 games. What is it? Yeah. 920 save percentage for him. Same thing's happening over in Boston where you have, you know, the guy who took the crease in Swayman. And then, 916 Walmart's over 40 games.
Yeah, not as good.
Up
as
and down, year. But still been good. Hey, like, 917 over 30 games.
Who gave up? Whose goalies gave up 5 goals to the Leafs on Monday?
Florida Panthers.
Don't forget it. Maybe the Leafs have the formula. I'm just kidding. I don't take that seriously, please.
The thing is that none of these goalies scare me. Maybe I'm going to knock on wood with this, but have scared me as much as playing Andre Vasilevsky or Tuukka Rask. Maybe that's a crazy take. Well, or Carey Price, for that matter, honestly. Like,
that's true.
Like, maybe Bobrovsky.
What did Bobrovsky do to the Leafs last year?
He did. No, he cooked us. But we've seen Bobrovsky do that multiple times where it's like, I feel like he's a leg below the guys I just listed in the sense that, like, he has those, like, stretch runs where he's just lights out. But also, he's very susceptible to being not that much sometimes. You know?
Yeah, he's very
he does have the it, very cold, you know?
Exactly. Well, he's won the Vezina twice. He's getting up there in age.
He's a good goalie. Don't get me wrong, but like
his career is fantastic, fantastic career. With the Panthers, yes, very, very, very up and down. But this season has been an up. Seemingly, this season has been an up. I will say this with Vasilevsky. Like, a lot of people were saying, he was injured last playoffs. That's why the Leafs were able to cook him. What happened to the first 5.5 games of the series before that from last year? He turned it on halfway through game 6 and game 7, he was lights out. Before that, he was terrible. Is that, like, that's not a hot take. He was not very good in the 5.5 games before that. So the Leafs played a style of offense that he didn't really like, it seemed like, for 5.5 games. Unfortunately, game 7, whatever. Anyways, let's get into it. Goals for percentage. So that is like essentially your goals for versus your goals against. What is the percentage there? The Leafs are 5th in the league. 5-on-5 goals for percentage, 5th in the league for the Leafs, 3rd for the Boston Bruins, and 7th for the Florida Panthers. So all pretty close in that respect. All pretty close. Like, it is kind of stark to see the differences between them, because, like, Leafs number one in goals for, but then of the three teams, they're the worst in goals against. Like Boston middling in both of them, and then the Panthers are at both ends of the spectrum for goals for and goals against. So pretty close together, though.
Yeah. Where it gets interesting, though, is when you dive into like the expected numbers ranking. They're not the be-all, end-all. But I think it gets really interesting when you take a look at that.
It does say something. You want to go through that? Because I also want to bring up, I need to find a different number. So go through the expected goals numbers compared between the three teams.
Yeah. So, of course, like, listen, if you're like the Leafs expected goals numbers, they're a little bit worse than their actual goals number. But also, I think that makes sense with the way that the team plays. The team plays definitely a more high event style of hockey, and they have some better finishers than they've had in the past. So if you look at the Leafs team as a whole, they have a bunch of like shooters who are quality shooters who on average, if you look at their career, probably outperform their expected goals for year over year, right? Like majority, like I would say on the balance of all, if you were to have like an average of expected goals for versus actual goals for of the Leafs players currently on the roster, the majority of them over their career would be positive in that aspect. Expected goals against, now, this is where the issue is. We're pretty low. We're 18th in expected goals against, 8th in expected goals for here. That leads us to 13th in the expected goals for percentage. That's ranked within the league. When you look at Boston, though, Boston expected goals-wise is a middling team. You could say the same thing about them, where they might have some stronger finishers, but I don't know the game of Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle too well. Can't look Trent back. Frederick. Trent Frederick as well. I don't know. Hey, maybe those guys are career guys who shoot above their expected goals for, consistently outscore their expected goals number. But 15th and 14th, respectively, for expected goals for and expected goals against for the Bruins, puts them at 17th in the expected goals for percentage rank. And that kind of tells you a little bit about the Bruins here, in that they're probably getting some good scoring luck. But on top of that, their biggest strength is their defense and their goalies, and how they play in zone defense and how they protect their goalies and how good their goalies are, period. Because they have the best tandem in the league. I think that's fair to say. So that's like the scary thing. Just like using these two numbers, putting them together, the actual goals versus the expected goals, when we think playoff matchup, that's like the what we're going to run into when we face the Boston Bruins. Now, on the other side of the coin, the Florida Panthers, they've been one of the strongest teams, in expected goals throughout the season. They've taken a dip now because they're on like a 2-7-1 game streak in the last 10. They haven't been playing very well. That's good to see if you're a Leafs fan, because, hey, hopefully that can carry into the playoffs for them. But they are 7th in expected goals for, 4th in expected goals against, and 5th in expected goals for percentage. I'm curious to see what that would look like if you did from like March onwards. Small sample, I know, or even February onwards. They'd be much lower, because they were up at number 1 for majority of the season. They were at the top in expected goals for and expected goals against for majority of the season, and that's now slowly come down. But one thing is for certain, though, and this might be, again, what we talked about, where maybe the Florida Panthers have built a team where, what I mentioned about the Leafs earlier, maybe it's the opposite of that, where, hey, they have a bunch of really good guys who generate what we like to think are quality chances, but career-wise, they don't convert on them. Guy we talked about, Evan Rodriguez, great, great case in point there. So they're 7th in expected goals for and versus 25 in actual goals for. It's a little interesting. At the same time, they're only shooting 7.4%. We don't know. We don't really know. But I think when you go up against the Panthers, you get a better overall team than the Boston Bruins, just 5-on-5
That's what it seems like. And it, like, when you look at it from last season, actually, like, the Panthers barely slipped into the playoffs. Remember that, right? But when you look at their underlying numbers, like just the expected goals wise, I don't have the micro stats here. They were, so expected goals for percentage ratings last season at the end of the regular season, 5-on-5 expected goals for percentage. Carolina was number 1 at almost 60%, which is ridiculous. New Jersey was number 2 at 55.99. Calgary, number 3, they didn't even make the playoffs, 55.48. Penguins, 53.92, zero finishers on that team. The Panthers at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at number 5 in the league, 53.78. So some solid underlying numbers there, which is interesting. The Leafs were number 7 on this one. And then the Bruins were number 8. When you look at goals for percentage last year, number 1 was far and above the Boston Bruins. They were at 63.58%. The Kraken were second in the league at 56.64. Leafs were actually third last year. Almost 7% above the second place. But we looked at it last year. What was happening with the Bruins? Why were they able to play so well despite their underlying numbers being like closer to top 10 as opposed to number one? It was goalies were making huge saves. Players were scoring on their opportunities. This year, to like a lesser extent, that's kind of what they're getting. But their underlying numbers are even worse from the year before. So you better hope that Swayman steps up really big in that series. Because if he's middling, you're going to have a tough time.
So just from what I've seen this year and kind of listen, I like Jeremy Swayman as a goalie. He's one of my guys. He's my guy. He's one of my guys where I have a bunch of guys around the league who I just kind of like to follow and just like box score follow them just because like I whatever, for my days of playing fantasy, they're on my team and I feel like I got them before they had the call. He's one of my guys. But watching him a little bit more this season and seeing the Leafs play him a little bit more, he's kind of a diva, a little bit of a diva. And I think that's the kind of guy who you can get in his head a bit. You can get in his head. So based off what we're looking at here, I want to lean towards a Boston matchup. Maybe that's crazy. Listen, we're going to be playing one of these two teams regardless. This isn't me calling my shot saying, give me one, give me the other. If I had to,
we want Boston. I don't want any of these teams.
If I had the choice, give me the Washington Capitals. That's who I want, right?
Give me the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, like
somehow.
No, give me the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, like let's hop over into the other division and get the Philadelphia Flyers. But no, that's not how it works. We're gonna have to play one of Florida and Boston.
But I want to say something though.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny though what you said. I'd rather Boston. Underlying numbers are weaker, right? Yeah. Less like they have a lot less notable scorers, especially at 5-on-5, like reputable 5-on-5 scorers. What happened versus the Bruins this regular season versus what happened against the Panthers? The Leafs are 2-1 against the Panthers and they're 0-2 against the Bruins, right? But as you said, statistically speaking, it's tough to beat a team four times twice. So
exactly. It's tough to beat a team four times.
That's just an emphasis. The regular season matchups do not matter. Do not matter. Get rid of them. Don't reference them. So as we can see, though, in terms of chances, what essentially we're saying, we mentioned our goals for. Jason went through the chances for, chances against. The Bruins are the weakest team of the three in terms of chances for, chances against. But let's get into this last little section here. Did you say it's shooting percentage already?
I touched on them a little bit, but go for it.
So the Bruins have the highest of the three at almost 10% on ice shooting percentage at 5-on-5, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Their save percentage is at 929 essentially, 9.286, which is the highest of the three. Again, they convert very high, they convert a lot, and they stop a lot. But in terms of what they give up and what they get, not the best. But yeah, so and it's funny when you look at the Panthers, 7.44% shooting percentage, but with a 9.264 save percentage. Like that's pretty stark in terms of the differences there. The Leafs are kind of, actually they're on the very low end for save percentage, 9.134, and shooting percentage at 9.71, which is pretty high.
But like, as we've seen, like a great example, of course it's year round, but with the Leafs, like shooting save percentage, we're only that low because, again, our goalie played terrible. Maybe that's like the wrong way to look at it. But right now, like, who knows, right? Like, he's hot right now. So maybe we're
916 since January 1st. But that didn't include the Panthers game. So
true.
Probably not 916. Anyways, it was 916 going into the Panthers game. Mm-hmm. But anywho, so I do want to say, like, Matthew Tkachuk's shooting percentage this season is actually, like, pretty low. Can you look up what it was last season? Because at 5-on-5 this year, he has 12 goals, 20 assists, 32 points. It's not good for fourth on the team. And he's shooting 9.23%, which I feel like is low for him. And is
This is the lowest of his entire career. The only time he shot below 10% was 9.2. That was back in his first year in Calgary. Career-wise, he's a 12.6% shooter.
That's at 5-on-5?
That's actually not at 5-on-5. I apologize. I should have been looking at 5-on-5. Where is this 5-on-5 shooting percentage?
What site are you on?
I'm just gonna use Natural Stat Trick because I'm
go ahead. We'll filibuster. Anyways, in terms of the individual expected goals, he is like below his actual goals. He's 12.65 individual expected goals. How many goals you would expect he would get based off the chances of his shots, the quality of chances of his shots. He has 12. Did I read that wrong? No, I did not. 12 goals on the season right now. Like, they got some good shooters on this team, but overall, like Verhaeghe and Reinhart can score from distance. Fantastic shooters. Barkov's a pretty good player too. He has 13 5-on-5 goals, which isn't great, but I don't know. I haven't looked at him historically. But like when you look at like Lundell is at 11 goals, and he's like Lundell's not really putting up any points at 5-on-5. As we mentioned, Rodriguez has trouble scoring at 5-on-5. Sam Bennett this season has 11 goals and 9 assists at 5-on-5. 20 points at 5-on-5. 20. That's it. That's not a lot at all. In 63 games, but 20 5-on-5 points. It's pretty terrible, right? And I'm like, yeah, you look at the rest of the roster, like Brandon Montour is a good defenseman. He's not having the best year. The one interesting thing that I found with the Panthers is that they actually don't play Aaron Ekblad very much at 5-on-5. It's very interesting. When you look back at the series last year against the Leafs, they played Mark Stahl over him. It was Forsling, Montour, which it still is this year. And then it was Mark Stahl. And then it was Aaron Ekblad. This year, it is Brandon Montour again. And then it was, I'm actually looking at the wrong one. Here it is. Brandon Montour, 17.6 5-on-5 minutes per game. Gustav Forsling, as you'd expect, 17.1. Those are their top two guys. Number three is Nico Mikkola. The guy they got, he was Blues and Rangers last year.
Interesting.
And then after that, a full like minute 0.3 less is Aaron Ekblad. Interesting, isn't it?
A little peculiar, if you ask me. But
you'd think it's not even like Mikkola's numbers are that good, or that like they start him in more difficult spots. Like, I don't know what his competition is, but like he gets more ozone starts than Ekblad, and he has a significantly worse goals for percentage. Expected goals for percentage is worse as well. I don't know. I have no idea.
I have the Tkachuk
shooting percentage
if you want. 9% this year, 9.23 at 5-on-5. He's probably a career like 11, 12.
What was he last year?
He was 11.34 last year, 15.48 the year before. That was like 15. His 15 the year before, 10, then 9, then 12, then 10, then 7. So his second or third worst shooting percentage year comes.
Yes. It's dropped by a couple only 12 percent. Goals at
5-on-5, yeah.
Yeah, regression. If regression hits, he's probably going to get a couple away. Just our luck.
In seeing how they deploy their defense, do you feel like this Florida team is like, don't want to say fake, but like, do you think that could get to bite them in the playoffs with that usage? Like, do you think Nico Mikkola is going to be like taking that role that you mentioned? Because Radko Gudas was always like, he was good for them last year. Right?
He was
like,
their number five, though. He did play well. His results were great. Him and Mahura, the results were great, but he was like distinctly their number five, and Mahura was their number six. Like, he played significantly less than Stahl and significantly less than Ekblad. So that's something else to keep in mind there. But Mikkola, what is Mikkola? He's a big body. He's going to be able to protect the front of the net. He's going to start hacking and whacking. So you got to watch out for that. I feel like if the Leafs do what they did last year against the Panthers, it's going to be way too close for comfort again. And what did they do last year against the Panthers? Get the puck, cycle it to the point, take a shot on net, battle it out in front, get essentially lumberjack chopped to no end in front of the net, and then goes in, it goes in. They need to use the passers that they have on this team. They need to use like their Domi speed, their Nylander speed that they have out there, and get a little bit more creative. It is a little bit more difficult because you don't have the best best offensive defenseman. So you, in terms of cycling it to the point, but you need to be able to win. I feel like instead of what they tried last year and what the Hurricanes tried last year and what both those teams failed at, I feel like you need to, you know, keep it along the boards and cycle that around and try to get more movement in the offensive zone and get more creative and try to be able to generate more rush chances. With that being said, though, when you look at the percentages behind it and you look at luck and you look at all that, like, I don't think the Panthers are going to be able to go on a run again where, like, the Hurricanes get 70 shots in one game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a numbers game. Eventually, some of those are going to – those tips that they had are going to go in the net. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
just my two cents on it, but
fair.
Yeah. Like it's a similar team in terms of forwards and D as well. Their main D are back as well. It's just Mikkola that's a big difference from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look at last year and take your notes. Who was the most like it per minute is what it felt like. I don't have the actual stats in front of me. Did it not feel like Kerfoot, Lafferty, and Nylander were generating chances every other shift?
Yeah, I can look it up, though, too.
And why is that, though? Why just was that?
Style of play, no?
Their speed.
Yeah.
Their speed through the neutral zone killed the Panthers. So that's one little thing there. And then, as I mentioned, like, creativity, getting more creative with it in the five-on-fives, in the offensive zone. And, again, what I meant by that is use your passing, like possession game, and use your passing game to fit it, you know, into the slot and get some movement and that sort of thing. I'm probably just speaking gibberish at this point, but yeah. But in summation of what we're saying, Panthers are really good defensively this year. The Leafs were really good offensively this year. Not as good defensively this year. The Panthers did not put the puck in the net a whole ton this year, but also did not generate. They generated an okay amount of 5-on-5 chances. So, yeah.
So who would you rather face?
Who would I rather face? Like, based off the numbers, you almost have to say, Boston. I feel like Florida's a bit of a sleeping giant. I don't like to judge a team based off of 10 games, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's say like revenge, obviously, but like,
yeah,
just looking at this Boston team, I really do feel like there are some holes in it. I don't know how, again, they finished tops in the Eastern Conference, but they did. And yeah,
I hope we can play Boston, honestly. I really do. Just because I think there's so many, like, based on these stats, I hope it's Boston, but I feel like I'm going to go off pure narrative street right now and just go, like, that's what I'm going to take with this. Like, the way we put, like, we lost 4 games to Boston this year. The way we played them feels like we shouldn't have lost 4 games to Boston. This team played really well, it feels like, against them. You don't think we could have grabbed one game off the Boston Bruins this year?
Yeah, it was the lost second game, really.
We lost 2 in overtime.
Yeah, the first one, right? You got outplayed massively. Samsonov played awesome.
But anyways, I think this team would be most motivated. I think with the history of this team, would be most motivated to go against Boston. That's what I think.
I don't know. I feel like more guys were here last year, though. against the Panthers. Maybe. It's you as a Leaf fan. You're pissed off because of 13, 18, 19.
But right at the, I think at the very least, all these guys, all these players are aware of the history that the core, that, that the core has gone through, especially the new players coming in. I think they're aware of the history.
I think last year stung more though. Like it was last year.
Yeah. Cause
fresh, cause you get another shot at them. So narrative-based, I would think it would be for this group, I think it would be Florida. Narrative-based, though, for you and me, it's obviously Boston. Because of
slay those demons. Let's do it. Like
because of that Matt Bratton missed breakaway. Because of that Joffrey Lupul chance that he didn't bury in overtime. Because of this, that, and everything else. Anyways, yeah. So. It looks like it's probably going to also be Samsonov starting in the playoffs. He's just playing too well. He's just not letting in any goals. So that's also something to keep in mind. But, yeah, overall, though, I will say all three teams have their strengths. All three teams have somewhat of a weakness that exists as well. So... like it's going to be a dogfight no matter who you play, right?
It's going to be a dogfight.
And playoffs do shift a little bit. It is a little bit of a different game. And you know, like think about the last two playoffs. Like you always have things that stick in your mind whether they're true or not, whether it's a recency fallacy, I'll say, or whatever, that you think, "Oh, we need to build our team because like this because this didn't work in the playoffs or this. Yeah. Because it worked for them. Right. Oh, Vegas has huge tree trunk defensemen. We need to build our team like that. Interesting. Did Vegas not have three insanely good centers? And then their fourth line that were extremely fast. How fast is Eichel? How fast is Chandler Stephenson? William Karlsson's a fantastic player. Oh, and I'm forgetting Nicholas Waugh was on the fourth line too. They were just built through the, they were insanely built. So yeah. But anyways, looking at the numbers, like it's going to be a tough dogfight. Every team has, each team has their strength, each team has their weakness. But the, like, I think these numbers are more encouraging looking at them now than say, if you were to look at the Leafs, how they fare in a playoff battle in say January, how'd you feel in January?
Yeah. I feel a lot better than then, than I do now.
100%.
Then I feel, but yeah. I
feel better now than I did.
Than I did then. Yes.
There you go.
The plight of recording late at night.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have anything else?
That's it for me. That's it for me.
It's all us from us. That's it for me as well. We got 2 weeks left of the regular season. It actually ends on a Wednesday, April 17th. Probably figure out the playoff form pretty soon though. Anyways, thanks everyone. Yeah.
I was gonna wait. It ends like the Leafs regular season ends on the Wednesday, not the whole regular season.
Leafs regular season ends on April 17th. First playoff game for the league. We're not sure who. The league is April 20th.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thanks everyone for listening.